From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
Listener, here is the news read by Ahmad Faisal. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo pointed out goods prices under control ahead of Christmas and New Year. Minister Tito Karnavian affirms autonomy gives regions space to innovate. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo stated that the prices of goods were still under control ahead of the 2022 Christmas and 2023 New Year celebrations that drive high public consumption. As reported by Antara after inspecting the Cigombong market in Bogor, West Java on Friday, President Jokowi admitted that there were several foods whose prices had increased, but there were also many goods whose prices had decreased. He also noted that several food ingredients that recorded price hikes included frozen meat, shallots, and rice, while foodstuffs that experienced a decline in prices were garlic, eggs, and chilies. The existence of a government system that adheres to the principle of decentralization through regional autonomy has provided space for regional governments to innovate. This was pointed out by Minister of Home Affairs Muhammad Tito Karnavian at the 2022 Innovative Government Award event in Jakarta on Friday, as quoted by Antara. He further explained that the existence of a regional autonomous government system provides greater space for regions to maneuver in innovation and creativity for their respective regions. The Ministry of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises, SMEs, is striving to achieve its entrepreneurship ratio target of 3.95% by 2024 through the Great Campus Strong Entrepreneur Program. The program is part of the National Entrepreneurship Development Campaign for Disseminating Information on Presidential Regulation Number 2/2022 year on National Entrepreneurship Development for the 2021 until 2024 period. This was pointed out by Entrepreneurship Deputy at the Ministry, Siti Aziza, in a statement as quoted by Antara on Friday. She noted a university is a very accurate institution to produce new innovative entrepreneurs. Women's role is inseparable from the development of the nation. This was conveyed by Chief of the Presidential Staff Office, Muldoko, in a written statement received by Antara on Friday. He also noted, based on a World Bank study, around 70% of women in Indonesia are the productive age group, which is 15 until 64 years. He further said that a 25% increase in women's participation in the labor industry in 2025 could help Indonesia's gross domestic product to grow by 2.9%. Some 200 million Americans are feeling the icy grip of a massive winter storm that has been linked to at least 12 deaths ahead of the holiday weekend. As reported by BBC.com, more than 1.5 million people lost power and thousands of flights were canceled on Friday. In South Dakota, some snowed in Native Americans reportedly burned clothes for warmth after running out of fuel. In Canada, Ontario and Quebec were bearing the brunt of the storm with power cuts for hundreds of thousands. The United States has accused North Korea of supplying battlefield missiles and rockets to the Russian mercenary group Wagner for use in Ukraine. As reported by BBC.com, the White House said the shipment violated UN Security Council resolutions and that it would announce further sanctions on Wagner. Both North Korea and Wagner have denied the report. The UK government says that Typhoon from the mercenary group have ballooned from 1,000 to nearly 20,000 in Ukraine. The group has also been active recently in Syria and African countries and has repeatedly been accused of war crimes and human rights abuses. The United States House of Representatives on Friday approved a $45 billion aid package for Ukraine. The measure, part of a $1.66 trillion government funding bill that passes the Senate a day earlier, will now go to President Joe Biden for signing into law. This package follows U.S. aid worth about $50 billion sent to Ukraine previously this year. Reported by VOA.com, the move comes from Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky's wartime visit to Washington this week. Upon his return to Kyiv, Zelensky defiantly said Ukrainian forces are working toward victory despite Russia's relentless artillery, rocket and mortar fire, and airstrikes on Ukraine. Well, listener, that's the newsline.
Oh, The first news comes from Makassar, South Sulawesi. The government of Goa Regency, South Sulawesi, through the Regional Tourism and Culture Office, is gradually starting to prepare the Balalompoa Museum to become a cultural heritage. Head of the Goa Regency Tourism and Culture Office, Tanriwati Tahri, in Goa on Wednesday, December the 21st, hopes that the existence of the Balalompoa Museum can be immediately designated as a cultural heritage. Moreover, the presence of cultural heritage is considered very important. Apart from preserving regional cultural heritage, it is also able to boost the regional economy. In addition, it can also be used as an object of research, as well as other needs related to culture, education, and history. The Balalompoa Museum is one of the many suspected cultural heritage objects in Goa Regency, according to the Cultural Conservation Law No. 11, 2010. Still from Makassar, South Sulawesi, Makassar Mayor Ramdan Pomanto plans to build 6 houses of worship to be built in the Untia Park Religious Area, Biringkanaya District. Houses of worship for 6 official religions, namely Islam, Christianity, Catholicism, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Confucianism, will be built in one area in Untia. Danny Pomanto explained that religious park is nothing but to strengthen relations between the religious communities. Even though there have been many programs to strengthen the people's faith, he admitted that they must still be strengthened. The last news comes from Lumajang, East Java. The Lumajang Regency Government East Java is holding the Lumajang Bien activity, which carries the theme of the 1930-1960 era in the series of Lumajang's 767th anniversary, which was held at the Jatiroto Sugar Factory on December 23rd until 25th, 2022. Head of the Lumajang Regency Tourism Office, Yuli Harisnawati, on Wednesday, December 21st, said several displays of old times and other history will be present at the Lumajang Bien. People who attend are also expected to wear clothes appropriate to the 1930-1960 era. Lumajang Bien consists of 4 zones, namely the Heritage Zone, which displays buildings, properties, and activities of the Lumajang community from 1930 to 1960, the People's Market Zone, the Amusement Park Zone, and the People's Snack Zone. That was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on December 24, 1953 about Tangiwai disaster. Tangiwai disaster occurred on December 24, 1953 when a bridge over the Wangaihu River fell down while the Wellington to Auckland Express passenger train number 626 was passing at Tangiwai in the center of New Zealand's North Island. The locomotive and the first 6 coaches skidded into the river, killing 151 people. The Board of Investigations found that the crash was caused by the collapse of the Tepfra Dam near the bridge. The disaster became New Zealand's worst rail accident. On December 24, 1994, terrorists hijacked Air France Flight 8969. 4 people of an Algerian militant group calling themselves the Armed Islamic Group hijacked a French plane. The Air France Flight 8969 was hijacked at Houari Boumediene Airport, Algiers, Algeria. The terrorist group took control of the plane for 2 days. During that time, 3 people on the plane died under hostage. French Prime Minister Edouard Balladur sent a special French security team to save the victims. When the plane reached Marseilles, the ambush was set up. The terrorists were killed and the remaining hostages were released safely. We end today in history with an event on December 24, 2000, when Christmas bombing attacks occurred in Indonesia. A series of bomb attacks hit some churches in various regions of Indonesia on the eve of Christmas Day, December 24, 2000. Some of the regions affected by the terrorist attack were Batam, Pekanbaru, Jakarta, Sukabumi, West Java, Pangandaran, Bandung, West Java, Kudus, Mojokerto, and Mataram. 18 people died as a result of the bomb attack. The Jemaah Islamiyah group was accused of being the mastermind behind the attacks. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Hujan kini telah berhenti dan diiringi sinar mentari. Dingin juga tiada lagi, hangat terasa di sanubari. Datang dan pergi, pergi dan datang lagi. Begitulah hidup ini.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia is The Development of Local IP Boosts the Growth of the Digital Economy. Acting Director General of Domestic Trade of the Indonesian Ministry of Trade, Kasan, explained in Jakarta on Wednesday that the development of local intellectual property or IP has the potential to boost the growth of the national digital economy. He also remarked that Indonesia has great potential to make local IP become a new drive of the national economy, which has multiple effects on various other sectors. Quoted from Antara, this was stated by Kasan when inaugurating the virtual event of Business Matching Product Kekayaan Intellectual Lokal. He also explained that the local IP products which are part of the digital economy in Indonesia are currently becoming a new trend in the world of creative business. Kasan further pointed out that the data from the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy show that global revenue from characters and entertainment licenses had a significant value of $275 million. This amount is expected to increase to $385 million in the next 6 years. Kasan also added that the use of IP for business people or certain brand owners is one of the promotional strategies in creating their products. Meanwhile, for producers, the use of IP will provide not only added value economically, but also appreciation for the intellectual work produced by someone. In addition, the Ministry of Trade facilitated 10 Indonesian local game developers to participate in a trade mission to Japan in September. The trade mission to Japan included participation in business forums and business meetings with game business communities and activists in Japan and provided opportunities for local gamers to participate in the Tokyo Game Show 2022. Well, listener, that's My Indonesia.
Tuhan, tolonglah biarlah.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Jalakotek Typical Culinary from Majalengka, West Java. Every region in Indonesia has its own unique cuisine. One of them is Jalakotek from Majalengka, West Java. Majalengka is a district which is about 95 kilometers from Bandung City. Jalakotek, that is a typical snack from Majalengka, is so popular. The shape of this cake is like a pastel and it has a salty, sweet, savory, and spicy taste. Jalakotek itself is made from a mixture of wheat flour and tapioca flour for the outer skin, while the inside is filled with stir-fried tofu, minced chicken, bean sprouts, carrots, and chili sauce. The taste is savory and delicious, making this snack one of the family's favorite snacks to accompany tea. Jalakotek, which is a typical Majalengka snack, is very popular from parents to children. Besides, the ingredients are easy to find, making jalakotek is also easy. The ingredients needed to make the layer are tapioca flour, wheat flour, salt, flavoring, and hot water. All the ingredients are mixed by adding hot water little by little until the texture is chewy. Afterwards, the dough is spread thinly with a diameter of about 10 cm. As for the filling, you need tofu and chopped carrots and garlic, bird's eye chili, salt, powdered sugar, ground stir-fry the ingredients for the filling until cook. After that, wrap the filling in the skin and shape it like a patty or dumpling. After being fried, jalakotek is usually sprinkled with additional spices such as dried chili powder and additional chili sauce. This dish is so delicious when eaten freshly fried. Apart from being delicious, in Majalengka, you can easily find jalakotek everywhere, such as at traditional markets, at school area vendors, at hawker centers, fried shops, and also at shops selling various kinds of snacks. The prices are quite pocket-friendly. Listener, if you are in Indonesia, West Java area, and not far from Majalengka, please try to taste this jalakotek snack. That's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye-bye!
Hatiku saat ku duduk berdua denganmu, berjalan bersamamu, menarilah denganku. Namun bila hari ini adalah yang terakhir, namun ku tetap bahagia. Selalu cepatlah sampaikan kepadaku agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih. Bila nanti saatnya telah tiba, ku ingin kau menjadi istriku, berjalan bersamamu dalam terik dan hujan, berlarian ke sana kemari dan tertawa. Namun bila saat berpisah telah tiba, izinkan ku menjaga dirimu, berdua menikmati pelukan di ujung waktu. Sudahlah kau temani diriku. Thank you.
cepatlah sampaikan kepadaku agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih. Bila nanti saatnya telah tiba, ku ingin kau menjadi istriku, berjalan bersama dalam terik dan hujan, berlarian ke sana kemari dan tertawa. Namun bila saat berpisah telah tiba, izinkan ku menjaga dirimu, berdua menikmati pelukan di ujung waktu. Sudilah kau temani diriku, sudilah kau menjadi temanku, sudilah kau menjadi. Istriku.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy is currently preparing documents for submitting dangdut music to become an intangible cultural heritage to UNESCO. Sandiaga Uno, as the Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, said this proposal must be realized as soon as possible so that dangdut is not claimed by other countries. Sandiaga continued the submission of dangdut to UNESCO was based on a study by experts at his ministry, who concluded that dangdut music deserves to be registered as an intangible heritage from Indonesia. Sandiaga explained that there are several factors driving the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy to submit dangdut as a cultural heritage to UNESCO. One of them, dangdut has become an Indonesian cultural identity. In addition, tens of millions of people work in the dangdut music sector. Actually, this is not the first time that dangdut will be registered with UNESCO. This plan was first initiated by Indonesian dangdut musician Roma Irama in 2012, when he served as the chairman of the Indonesian Malay Music Artists Association. Roma Irama claimed to work with the government to make it happen. At that time, the artist, who was nicknamed the King of Dangdut, admitted that he was ready to take responsibility for proving that dangdut music was not the result of Indian music influence, but original Indonesian music. Leading up to the submission of dangdut to UNESCO, various documentation and collaboration with ministries and other institutions are being prepared. It is hoped that dangdut music will soon follow angklung and gamelan traditional musical instruments that UNESCO has recognized as intangible cultural heritage from Indonesia. Well, listener, that was miscellany from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents you a keroncong song entitled Dia Masa Lalumu, Aku Masa Depanmu by Fionita Sihombing, accompanied by Vivian. Fionita Sihombing is a singer from a talent show, The Voice Indonesia. Fionita released her first single, Dia Masa Lalumu, Aku Masa Depanmu, on March 5, 2021, and unexpectedly, the song went viral. The song Dia Masa Lalumu, Aku Masa Depanmu, which means She is your past, I am your future, has a deep meaning and tells the story of a woman who expresses her sincere feelings to her friend, but he still can't move on from his ex-girlfriend. So she begins to give up with the situation. Alright listener, here is the song Dia Masa Lalumu, Aku Masa Depanmu by Fionita Sihombing featuring Vivian. Enjoy!
Jarak bayangnya, aku sungguh
Voice of Indonesia.
Oh.
Well, listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.